Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Unnecessary.
Not yet. You want to get into it?
Oh, did you want to sit there?
Did want to sit there.
No problem.
Zach, come closer. Zach, come. Naftali, come much closer. I want to study something in Parashas Vayetze for a few minutes. It's a story we studied already, but I'm going to come at Avram from a different angle. And I want to talk about two topics that this makes me think about. Yaakov Avinu is running away from, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. Scared for his life. Esav wants to kill him. It's interesting. He has two reasons to run away from Eretz Yisrael. On the one hand, Esav wants to kill him. And on the other hand, his father had sent him to find the Shidduch. Don't get somebody in Eretz Yisrael. Go to Haran and get a Shidduch there. He runs to Haran and he sees... It's very, whatever you experience here, this is the first of the Avos. Avram and Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov goes into Galus. It's very relevant, Yosef. We're not just studying Yaakov, we're studying me and you. What's true in the Avos is true in the Banim. We're literally studying ourselves. Yaakov's initial experience in Galus is very, very telling about the job of a Yid. So every part of this story is extremely important. This is Yaakov's initial descent into Galus. He goes into Galus, and he comes to a well, and we discuss this scene. There are three shepherds with flocks, with sheep, and they're all lazying around right by the well. And when I say they're lazying around, the sheep are like sleeping. They're roivsim. The sheep are lying down. Now, typically, this is the normal pattern. Aviad, when somebody's a shepherd, but all day long he's supposed to be out in the fields taking the sheep to pasture to eat. And when they're hungry, they're thirsty, you go, let's say, twice, I'm making up the number, a couple of times a day. You get them water, and then you go right back to pasture. The sheep shouldn't be lying around. After the day's over, when the day is done, you bring the sheep in, you give them to drink, and the sheep like chill out. During the day, you quickly give them to drink, and you bring them back to pasture, Yosef. Yaakov Avinu comes to the well, and he sees the sheep are all lying down. He's like, what's going on here? And he gives Musar Naftali to the shepherds. He first talks to them. It's very important that he first talks to them. It's not a trick. It's if a guy's talking in shul and all you see is a talker in shul, there's something with you. First, you should see a good-looking guy. He's in shul. He's so nice. His kids are with him. He's a parent. Wow. Okay, he's talking is one aspect. Yaakov Avinu doesn't just see problem children. He sees good people and he talks to them. In middle, he says to these shepherds, a little musar, Aviad, you're thieves. You have a job to do, Yosef. It's still day. What are you lazying around here? There's still hours left in the day. Hashkuat sayin, give the sheep to drink. Luchuru, go pasture. What are you lazying around? So that's what he says to the shepherds. You're thieves. If you're hired workers, you have no right to chill out here. You're paid for a job. Get busy. Very important. I once visited one of our guys who was in camp. Him and his co-counselor. And the two bunks had a volleyball game, and he was like actively reffing and coaching the volleyball game. His partner had a volleyball, a spare volleyball under his head, and was sleeping. It's a very ugly scene. You're paid for a job. Let's go. Let's go. You're sleeping with a volleyball under, and you're paid for a job. Work honest. Work airless. You're paid for something. Let's go. Maybe I should be Don Lakovskos. It was the guy's day off. I don't know. Get busy. So Yaakov Avinu says to these shepherds, let's get busy. It's not time to gather the sheep yet. The shepherds, nice to see you, CD. The shepherds say back, I'm going to tell you a word I never told you before.
Just going to get water.
No question about it. So Michal, the shepherds say back to Yaakov Avinu, you don't understand our system. They said, we're not lazying. There's a very huge rock on top of the well, and we push it, we're waiting, we need all the shepherds here at once, we can't take ourselves. So three of us are simply not strong enough to take off the rock, off the well. The well is covered by a gigantic rock that seals the well. And it doesn't say how many, let's say there are 10 shepherds in town. The only way to roll off the rock is all 10 shepherds come together. So Aviad, we're just waiting for all the shepherds to come. We're just waiting. Yaakov is like, whoops, I didn't chap that. The Torah doesn't record what Yaakov says back. Rachli Menu comes. Yaakov Avinu gave Musar to the shepherds. They seemed to be lazying around by the well. He said, you're thieves. Get to your job. They answer Yaakov back, and the Torah gives the answer back. Yaakov Avinu, we're not lazy at all. The rock is huge. We can't roll it off. Unless they're all of us there. You have the picture? You need like 10 shepherds to get off the rock. So we're just waiting, Donnie, for the other shepherds to come. Sorry. Then Rachli Menu shows up. Yaakov Avinu's crazy strong. What takes 10 shepherds, Yaakov flicks it off like nothing. Flicks off the cap. Mamish like nothing. He's so strong, he could flick off the rock. He's a geber. And he feeds, and Rachli Menu's sheep get fed. I have three kashas I want to ask you on the story. One is Dan Lekavschos. Why wasn't Yaakov Avinu Dan Lekavschos? He gives them Musar. Yaakov Avinu was very smart. Why wasn't he Dan Lekavschos? That maybe they just can't flick off the rock unless they're all there. Now, by the way, their answer leaves me wanting. They say we need all the shepherds there. Okay, so don't come so early. Mm-hmm. That you could say it's hard to time. We have no choice but to wait. Avia, but question one is why wasn't Yaakov Avinu Dan Lekavschos? Judge favorably. Give them the benefit of the doubt. He calls them Ganavim. Couldn't he see that it was a big well with a huge rock and they're just not capable of lifting the rock? They need more help. That's question one. You have question one, Aviad? Why wasn't Yaakov Avinu Dan Lekavschos? Naftali, fair question. Be Dan Lekavschos. And it's Yosef, fair question. He gives them Musar. It always bothered me. He like chews them out and then they say their answer. It's like, whoops. It always bothered me, this Kasha. So Yaakov Avinu made a mistake? And if he made a mistake, isn't that strange? He didn't think of being, he should have thought of the other options. Fair Kasha, Michal? Kasha one. Kasha two I have, Shlema, is the way Hashem says the story. And I want to read, this is a subtlety. It bothers me a lot, Kasha, too. These are my three questions. Kasha, too, I have, Aviad, is the Torah, when it says the story, it says Avram Avinu comes, he sees the well, there are three flocks of sheep chilling there, a big Evan on top. And then Hashem says, the Pasuk says the system. We're asking Rav Ezi three kashas. One kasha is, why wasn't Yaakov Avinu Dan Lekavschos the shepherds? He says, you're Ganavim, and they answer back. And we're not Ganavim, it's just we can't roll off the rock. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu, why wasn't he Dan Lekavschos? Why didn't he figure that out? Very smart man. Kasha one. Kasha 2, and Naftali, this is a subtlety in the way the story is told. Yaakov Avinu comes to the well, and he sees the three people, the three shepherds, lazying around. Now, before Yaakov gives Musar, Hashem fills you in, Michal, on the story.
Yeah.
Hashem says, all the flocks gather, and they roll off the stone. And then they put the stone back. Then Yaakov gives Musar, I don't get you guys, what are you lazying around? And they say, sorry, we can't do it alone. Why did Hashem, that's not the way to tell the story. Why does Hashem tell us Yaakov's mistake before he makes his mistake? Yaakov Avinu should show up, give them Musar, and then Hashem says, okay, let me tell you. Yaakov Avinu should give them Musar, and then they should explain the system. It's a bad way of storytelling that Hashem already says the mistake Yaakov Avinu makes. His mistake is they're not lazing around, they just can't take. Yaakov is like, I don't get you guys, just take water. That's what Yaakov Avinu says them. But Hashem already tells us before that they need all the shepherds to roll off the stone.
Spoiler alert.
Yaakov didn't know that, but Hashem tells us in the story. Why does Hashem have to tell us that detail? What? That's my second question. So why does Hashem, Naftali, you hear that question? It's a weird way of storytelling. Why does Hashem tell us the mistake? Let's find out in real time. Does Yaakov Avinu know the system? No, that's why he gives Musar. Their response is the system. God wants you to know the system before. Let us live the story along with Yaakov Avinu, and the shepherds will tell us the system. Kasha 2. Kasha 3, Shlomo, I have, is when it says the system, it says that the shepherds all take off the stone together, and then they put the stone back on together. By Yaakov Avinu, it says he flicked off the stone. It never said he put it back on. Why doesn't it tell us that Yaakov Avinu put the stone back on? It's a chil Hashem. It bothers me a lot if people leave things messy. I'm very sensitive to that. If guys, if our yeshiva goes somewhere, I'll clean it perfect after it has to, you don't leave something messy. Chil Hashem Neira. Yaakov Avinu comes, flicks off the stone, and never says he put it back. By the Torah is very careful to say when all the shepherd system is they give pishku es atzayin, they roll off the stone that covers the well, they feed the sheep, and then they put it back. They put it back. By Yaakov Avinu Shlomo, it says he flicks it off. It doesn't say he puts it back. Chil Hashem, to leave it uncovered. Bothers me a lot when people go places and leave it messy. Our guys play baseball on the field, to leave it spotless. Chil Hashem. Use it, enjoy, you leave it neat. Yaakov Avinu flicks off the stone, never said he puts it back. Now you could say the Torah is not a history book. Doesn't record. Of course he put it back. That bothers me a lot because the Chil Hashem. See, if it would be power of, okay, the Torah doesn't have to say all the details. It says he flicks it off. A Rachel say you put it back.
Three kashas.
You're the kasha CD? It bothers me. It doesn't say he put it back. So I want to share as follows, Chaver. I want to share, right, the three. I want to share from Rav Hirsch. I'd like to share, Yosef, from Rav Hirsch. I said him a lot early. I want to share from Rav Hirsch what he says on these three questions. He says something niflid. He's not answering all these three kashas, Naftali. Rav Hirsch described, what was their system? There's a big well. Let's all get it, Avia. There's a huge well in town. And they have a stone that covers the well that only all the shepherds could do together. Why do they have that system? You know, Cheka is very, very handy. It can make anything. Why didn't they have a light opening that a person could come and open it up? Now, you could say an animal can get to the well. They don't want animals to do anything inside the water. So simply have an easy opening that one person, I see it's low. Have an easy opening that one person can open it up. What was with this system that they had this well that the only way to get it open, it's a crazy heavy stone and it needs them all. What type of strange system is that? Have a nice well that one guy can come and take and feed his sheep.
All like
What?
Like they all work. Make sure they all work.
They all
work.
That's right. So a shepherd should show up to the well, pick it up, and feed a sheep. Make an easy opening. They have an Even Gedoyl al Pi Haber. They have on top of this well, it's sealed with a rock that no one guy can roll off. It needs 10, 20.
How does it work with the for a well? You need like a thingy in it, a bucket that goes down. But you can't
this well is sealed. Sealed with a rock. That you draw water with a bucket. With a bucket, easy.
Oh, it's like a, it's a shallow.
It's a regular well, the way you'd picture a well, that you lower a bucket. Right, you lower a bucket. But on top of the well.
You can't lower a bucket if you've got a fat stone. Like
you have to take it off. You have to take off the stone. Takes 10, 20 people, whatever. Then when the stone's off, now it's an open well. It's sealed at the top.
It's like 20 feet.
A hole in the ground. Just picture a hole in the ground. There's a bucket next door. You lower in there.
It's not deep.
It's 20 feet down. It's like 30, 50 feet.
How are you getting a bucket then?
There's a bucket right next door that stays there. Yeah, rope. They lower down a bucket. But it's sealed with a rack that takes 20 people. Why'd they do this system? Have one person could lift it and take. What? Oh. So there's two reasons to do this, Chevra. There's two reasons. One is they don't trust each other, if Hirsch writes. They're worried somebody's going to take too much. There's a certain amount of water. They don't want somebody taking too much. So they have to take in front of each other. There's a distrust to each other and to prevent the outsider. That's why they have a very heavy rack. It was designed on purpose. I didn't get it. I'm going to answer. We didn't answer them. Slow down. No, we're going to explain. First, let's get what the system is, and then we'll answer all the questions. But what was this system of the heavy rack? Two reasons for the heavy rack, Hever. Is one is they don't trust each other. And to make sure they didn't want a guy, clearly, says Rev Hirsch, they didn't want a system, Avi, that one person could come and take. And it was a system of distrust of each other. They didn't trust each other, is one. And two is to prevent the outsider from taking. Anybody else came, if you didn't know their system, you normally come to a city and you take to prevent the outsider. That's the two systems why they had such a heavy stone. They didn't trust each other and to prevent the outsider. The outsider can't take anything. He comes and he's like, okay, they can't move the thing. He can't move the rack. So prevents the outsider from taking, and the insiders don't trust each other. Rev Hirsch, yes, Yosef.
So could it be that he was giving mustard that they didn't like schedule a time to all come together and do it?
That's true. That could be, by the way. Yosef's even saying, Yaakov Avinu says, what are you lazying around? The answer, we need each other. Yosef's saying, it's still not a great answer, so work it out. You come on time. That's fair. The only problem with that, Yosef, is you're yelling at the people. It's not their fault. Maybe they were on time and the other people were late. So it's a little bit complicated.
But you said it wasn't that time of day.
What?
You told us it wasn't that time of day that they should
be. To end. To take it might have been. They drink during the day, but you give them to drink and you go back to pasture. They were ending. The animals were ripening. They were lying down. Now, Yosef, Rev Hirsch, according to Rev Hirsch, Aviad, I want to answer our three questions, then I want to talk to the guys. According to Rev Hirsch, we asked, why wasn't Yaakov Avinu Dan Lekav's Chos? He says, it's early in the day. What are you lazing around? Why wasn't he Dan Lekav's? It's not a Dan Lekav's Chos. Yaakov Avinu says Rev Hirsch didn't like the system. The system is predicated on bad midos in both ways. Trust each other. It should be a world of trust. It's tragic that they couldn't trust each other. That each one was suspicious, you'll take too much. They had no trust for each other. And by the way, locking out the outsider. It's a terrible system. Somebody can't come who needs and take a little bit for themselves. Yeah, it's no doubt. What did you say?
If it ran out, then there would be no for the animals.
So I don't know the answer, Yosef. You can ask on Rav Hirsch, why is that bad that on the outside it's limited? It seems people, remember, it's an underground well that fills back up. I don't want to say unlimited, because then why would they even be afraid the other would take too much? I imagine that it refills. It's a well, which has a wellspring, but you probably have to wait till water gathers up there again. So they're definitely, I think the two Tainas now mistrust each other and don't knock out the outsider. Oh, one second. First, you got why they did the system, Aviad?
Yeah.
Rev Hirsch says that Yaakov Avinu did not like this system. So we ask, why wasn't Yaakov Avinu down the Kav Schus? It's not a down the Kav Schus. It's not a good answer. He says it's too early. So we have a rock on it that's too heavy. Yaakov Avinu didn't, he made it, it could be he was even giving Musar about that. And if your answer is that, I don't like that. Now they answer that. Yaakov Avinu was not down the Kav Schus, Avi, because that's not a down the Kav Schus, Rav Hirsch says. It's not a good system. Yaakov Avinu doesn't like that system. It's not a Dan Lekav Schus. We asked, Dan Lekav Schus is judged unfavorably. Yaakov Avinu, that's not a favorable judgment. To say, oh, because not a good thing to have a heavy rock. Trust each other. They're basically he says to them, you're stealing. Now to say,
that system has anything to do with judging them.
He says you're lazying around. He doesn't want to rationalize, oh, we just don't trust each other. That's not a good answer.
It's not a Dan Lekav.
He's saying, if you're, what you're doing looks like you're being lazy, I'm not willing to say that you have such a sick system.
You're saying if their system's already terrible, then he's already assuming.
No, he's coming, they're lazying around saying you're lazy. We ask, be down the Kav Schus. Maybe they have the system. He doesn't suspect they have the system because not a nice system. That's not a favorable judgment of them to say they have the system.
Very good.
Very nice.
What's wrong? He comes and they're lazying around. Now, why are they lazying around? Because they have a sick system. He just gives them mussy, you're being lazy. He doesn't give, it's not a good answer to them. We're not really being lazy. We just don't trust each other. So we have a crazy, heavy stone. Yaakov doesn't think of that because he doesn't want that. It's not a nice answer. You can't ask on Yaakov, why didn't you like think they're just bad people? Because that's not a Dan Lekav Schus. If you're doing it for that, that's not, you don't trust each other. You guys need help. That's what, so now, according to Rav Hirsch, there's no Dan Lekav Schus on their system. It's not a nice system. I also want to claim Echa Lefi Rav Hirsch. That's why Hashem tells you the system before they said it. Because it doesn't want to make it that their answer was the answer. We know their system already.
Beautiful.
So it doesn't want, if Yaakov gives them Musa and Naftali and they answer, it's like, okay, oh, good system.
Beautiful.
We knew their system already. It's not a good system. It's not like their reply is the answer.
So Yaakov knew the system? Or did he
not do it? I don't think Yaakov knew it. But Hashem words it this way to make it clear. I don't think Yaakov knew the system. I don't know if he knew it. It's not a Dan Lekav Schus. He might have known it, might not have known it. That's not.
The only way to know if it was a Dan Lekav Schus or not is if he knew either.
No. Yaakov says you're lazy. We asked, why didn't he just think? They can't roll it off. The answer is because it's not a nice thing to think about them. It's not nice.
The question is, why wasn't he Dan Lekav Schus? Because it's not a good Dan Lekav Schus, which means he thought of it.
Yeah, he thought of that, right, but he said they're not so bad. He was Dan Lekav Schus, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
It's not a Dan Lekav Schus.
How would he know it's not a Dan Lekav Schus if he didn't know the actual system?
No, it's not a Dan Lekav Schus because it's not nice to do that, to not trust each other. It's not, that's not.
He didn't know it, according to you, you're saying.
Right, he didn't know they didn't trust each other, right? He didn't even think about that. I never would guess that.
So how did he know that it's not a Dan Lekav Schus?
It's not a positive thing to think about somebody. If you see them lazy, it's not a good answer. We're not lazy, we just don't trust each other. That's not nice.
Okay, so once they told him, how's he allowed to remove the rock?
What's the question?
Once
no, she's entitled to take. They let her take.
She's the person they were waiting for. So everybody,
I don't know. In terms of the halacha, they let people take. Rabbi Brown's asking a bomb, cash, and refersh. They don't trust each other, and he does it for Rachel. Are you allowed to do that? I don't know if it was a law. Like, in terms of Dina Damali, you'd have a lot of questions because it's not Eretz Yisrael, so it's Pashas, he doesn't own it. She's entitled to take. So it's a fair question. A fair question where they just don't trust. I want to express that it doesn't say Yaakov put it back. I don't know if he did or didn't put it back. He didn't hold to the system. The Torah doesn't want to say Yaakov put it back on. It's Chil Hashem Naira. Yaakov, you know, doesn't hold it should be on. I don't know what he did practically. It could be La Lacha, he was Mechoyev to put it back. It's not his, it could be Adam put it back. The Torah doesn't record because he's not masking to the system of putting it on. He flicks it up. Now, it could be he said, okay, I got to put it on. It could be, by the way, he put on a very light cover. He didn't do their system. I don't know if he put it on or not. The Torah doesn't record he put it on. It's not nice having the stone on. Now, but I want
to... What's shot the spoiler? Every same shot, the spoiler alert. Because that's not...
The Torah doesn't want to make...
They were such jerks. Zaldachvistin, they were jerks.
Yeah. Let's start the story. He doesn't want to give them the answer as if their answer is a legit answer. We knew that already originally. It's not a good answer. Yosef, you know what I'm saying over here? Now, I want to say two things. Good to see you, Ephraim. I want to say two things to the Chevra. I want to talk to you two things there are two things that mean a lot to me, and I want to share this to you, Naftali. I'm coming. If you call me with an agenda, I am coming. I get very nervous. And welcome, Gabriel. Welcome to Yeshiva, Gabriel. Good to have you. Very good to have you. Gabriel, we're talking here. The shepherds have a system. They have a heavy rock on the stone, and they do it for two reasons. Why is the heavy rock a crazy system? You can't just come to the well and take. They don't trust each other, one.
It's quite clever.
And two is they keep out the outsider from taking. I want to express. Lely, want to talk? Want to talk 1 second? I want to express two things that are both mean a lot to me. And Aaron, I want to talk two sugyas. First of all, I want to talk. What? We're not done yet. I'm going to talk about this. We answered. You have the story, though, the simple story. What they did, why they do it. It's very cool. We learn it as kids. We don't analyze why they have this crazy rap. Rev Hirsch gives a shot. A lot of the story makes sense.
I think one contradicts the other.
I don't think so. What's not making sense to you?
According to what you're saying, if he didn't know about the story, about their system, then how would he know that it's a non-consciousness moment?
Not a gnat. Yaakov sees them being lazy. The alternative to them being lazy is they don't trust each other. That's not a better way of seeing the story. It's only a kasha on Yaakov Avinu if there was an innocent...
You're saying that there would have only been a worse way to look at it?
Yeah. The real story is worse than what he was looking at. The real story to being lazy, it's not a kasha. Why was he Dalekov's course? It's not a Dalekov's
kind of like being
Dalekov's. Yeah.
I give the untrustworthy.
I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that in a second, Lely. I want to talk about that. I like that question. Lely says, what do you want? We just don't trust each other. What do you want from us? So I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about the two aspects of their system. Now, I don't consider this, Yosef, just the cute. This is the descent into Galus, Yaakov Avinu. There's a behavior here that we're being taught, and I think it's very important it's taught here. I think Galus divides our people. A big part of Galus is the separation from Hashem and the division from each other. Geula is when we stand united together under the banner of Hashem. Part of Galus is the spreading out of our people. That's part of Galus. And I want to express two things. I want to express the danger of the being mean to the outsider, the creating of a them. I want to express that to everybody, listen to this. I have seen two things. I've seen this in this yeshiva. No coats. They're coats. That's what people are on phones. Off the coats. No phones, no coats. Coat off. Let's go. I'm going to tell you real things. It's not for a coat. No coats. To talk real, you can't talk with coats. It's late on time. I want to express, Avi, two things. Some people ask, is the yeshiva clicky? And any yeshiva, there's cliques in yeshiva. I'm proud they're cliques. It would be weird not to have cliques. They're groups of friends. Of course. You have no world where everybody's equal friends. There's no such thing. Ain't davar, I think that would be weird, not a normal thing. In a yeshiva, there are 200 people on campus. I promise there's groups of friends. That's geshmak. These five guys are good friends. These six guys, these four guys, excellent. That's normal, Danny. That's wonderful that they're groups of friends. I've seen the following things, Avram, in groups of friends. I have seen group of four, of six, of eight, that their friendship, they're close friends. But other people are easily gained from their friendship. I've said this, Shlomo's group of friends had a very close group of friends, has a close group of friends. It brought the whole yeshiva closer. A guy has like three friends, four. In their friendship, there's just a lot of love around, and it's easy to get involved. It's easy to be pulled in. They're four close friends, but it's not exclusionary. Actually, being a loyal friend creates certain care and warmth, and others bask in that warmth. They do things together, and like, please join in. I promise I've seen in four friends, everybody else like gain from the friendship. And then I've seen people that they're four friends, everybody else is the outsider. A lot of exclusion, a lot of hurt. Just people being damaged from the friendship. Not you. To me, it's massively important when you have a friendship, two people are close, the third person gains. I've seen this, and I've seen people who make the outsider and exclude and push away. It's ironic. If you actually don't have something, sometimes all you have, you know, little kids make a club. If they have something nice, other people want to join the club, hop in. Sometimes all they have is nobody else will know. You know, kids have a secret hideout. They have nothing there. All they have is the fourth friend can come. Them three have. The exclusion is all you have. Nobody else can come in. It's so precious in a group. You're close, you have something, don't exclude. Don't create an outsider. Don't create somebody who can't. You have something real. Others can come and join. This picture of the well that only we can access, and the outsider can't take, there's a picture here of something. There's a picture of something. If you even think about Yiddishkeit, I see my Rebbe trained me. I happen to like Goyim a lot. A guy's good. The fact that we remain separate is for a reason. Hashem told us we are separate. We don't marry Goyim. There's a loyal to a mission. We keep the Torah, but a guy to respect a guy is huge. To respect a guy is a big deal. Of course, you respect Goyim. But of course, my Rebbe never spoke bad about a guy. Never, chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. A guy is, a tzelem elokim is precious. You don't need in a group, you don't need to create your group. The outsider can't. The outsider is not. It's not the way. In a shul, I'll tell you in my shul, if some, you know, in your shul, so everybody has seats. Let's say a guy sits in your seat.
Flick, baby!
You don't send the guy out of your seat. You don't send chas v'shalom. To me, that's harrowing. To a piece of dirt's on your seat, you clean it off. A human being's on your seat. He sits in your seat. Makom kavu. Okay, that week. By the way, makom kavu within Dalai Lama's is fine. And that week, next week, you'll come a little early. You don't kick a yid out of your seat. A set seat. There is an inyan of a set seat. There's an inyan in tefillah to have a set kaveh makom tefillah. There's such an inyan. Okay, next week you'll come earlier. You never ask a guy to leave your seat. Never, never. You're supposed to have a makom kavua, but if somebody came that week, he's a human being sitting in my seat. You don't flick out a guy out. There's no such ain't davar kaza. There's no such thing like that. A human being is sitting there. The nekuda of not creating the outsider, of not making the outsider. Now, people do that on purpose as like a way of like creating our group of exclusivity creates our chevra. Not him. No. The group being together should be better for the other people. It should be inviting for other people. Yes, us four are very good friends. We do things together. You know, I have watched the good type of friendships. I mean this, I'm not flat. I watch Michal with Shimon, that Chaver Jashi. The whole yeshiva is more warm from a good friendship. If you really, Michal, I think the Bechina is, picture the little kids who have their club and all they have, the secret club, is only that the fifth guy can't go in there. If they had something good, so people could, if anybody can join, then we have nothing. That's not, what you have is not the exclusivity. You have something real. A husband and wife that are honestly close, you know what happens? Hachnasa sarchim, other people gain from their house. What do you mean? It's our house. No, you have something real. You have your house. And it is your house. It's for you too. But that's the chesed and the kindness and the closeness that doesn't exclude a third person. It actually lifts up the third person. I picture this system that Yaakov Avinu sees as the well that only the locals can take from. There's a sugi here. Now, I don't think everything in the Torah is exact. In Golus, where there's spread out, and we're all over the place, and there is something called the Yid, and there's something called his minog. I speak about this a lot, that it's very nice that we have a yeshiva, Waterbury. It bothers me a lot if guys like the Waterbury guys, and that I watch guys go to Eretz Yisrael. I know my son's in Rav Fisher's yeshiva. Of course, everybody. It's inclusive. So no, us. You're an outside. We don't work like that. That's not a healthy group. It's not a healthy group. It's very easy to come in. It's easy to join. By the way, I'm Yisrael, and we do, a person can become a ger, by the way, and I don't say we do it in a second. We want to make sure they're serious. Our very people, it's easy to become. The gerus is not difficult. And we accept gerim. Now, there's a process. There's a process to make sure. Of course, it's a process to make sure the person means it. The person's doing right. But be'etzem gerus is kabbalas ha-mitzvahs. And go to the mikveh and you're a ger. Now, we're careful. Of course, we're careful that the person really wants to be a yid. We don't want to create chilul Hashem, chilul Shabbos. We're not looking for that. It's not a group you can't join. Not at all. The reason we're in Golos is to pick up gerim, by the way. Somebody's allowed to join. A healthy friendship is not about being not him. It's not about, no, he can't go. That's actually a huge sign that you usually don't have much binding you and it can't be him. And what this system of the heavy rock on the well that precludes the outsider is very, very distant from Am Yisrael, where it's a light thing, an outsider. Please take, we have a well, we have something precious. Please come and avail yourself to what we have. We don't need that you're excluded to have. That's one thing. I think there's I think when people have something real, they don't need that. If sometimes all you have is that other people don't have, then you have to check if you even have. You're just excluding. That's like the four. Nobody else. If I cared, we have something, a beautiful friendship. If I cared, so happy to bring the fifth guy and other people come in and join. We have something beautiful. It should help the fifth guy, not exclude the fifth guy. Avi, do you hear what I'm describing? Have you seen these two types of friendships? What? I think the more we're present to a real thing. Friendship's real, and you have something precious, so I don't need the other guy to be excluded. The more I don't, and there's insecurity, the friendships that are built were the cool guys on based on insecurity. When it's based on lack and fear and just trying to hang with the cool guys, and when it's all based on those things, you'll never let in the fifth guy. The very premise of the friendship is not having. So then it becomes, you see a group of snobbing everybody else out. If a person has a friendship that's an honest friendship, that's a real friendship, so naturally you'd want others. Why couldn't somebody join in? We have such asheris here. Please join what we have. It's our honor. Please join. Please partake. Please, by all means. I was saying, how do we get to this topic from the part of the... This is exactly the heavy well up. I want to learn Torah Aviad much more deep. See what we're seeing. The heavy well that doesn't allow the outsider. There's a rock on a well that doesn't allow the outsider to partake of the water. This is what we're talking about. What'd you say? I don't think it's a sugya of not enough. I hear one could have said that. If that was the way Rav Hirsch, Yaakov would have been down the Kavschos Lely. We're not coming that there's not enough. We're coming from people afraid. There's enough. It refills. If there's a problem, Pasha, the locals aren't getting. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Think about the case of the chairs. But we only have a certain... Okay, so they're guests sometimes. So this week you gave up your seat. But the outsider can come. He can enjoy. I'm not talking theoretical. I'm talking real. I'm talking in a shul, in a community. I do everything in the yeshiva. I don't like the creation of the outsider. There's so many things we could do in Waterbury. People come and apply. We have limited dorm counselor spots. I'm such a stupid guy. We should just give them to a guy who's part of us. I give a guy can come as dorm counselor, never learned in the yeshiva. He's all us. What are you making? He's us. He's one from the best dorms we ever had. Yosef Abrami's here. Why do we say Neville, you didn't learn here? It's not. But I want it. But I'm challenging you to something, because we could have said he's not one of us. There's no such. What are you doing? What are you doing? A guy comes and we're us. He's us. We're all. It's us. Our people. I'm Yisrael. You don't have to knock people out to have something. And when you have something, you include. Others are included and part, and you're part of them. It's all us. I'm expressing something that there's a system in Charan that's very antithesis to a yid, to a group that has something. And when you have, it's very complicated. Because in Gullus, we do say separate, and this, but not in a way of putting down, not in a way of excluding. It's in a whole different way, in a way of having. People who have, and the other person gains from what we have, and can partake in what we have. You know where I'm coming from? The system I'm describing is the opposite of the heavy stone that only the locals can take. That's the reason to have a heavy stone. It's the world where only local, you're an outsider. I don't like that. I don't like that, Yosef. What are you feeling, Yosef?
It's like me locking my shed.
You and Lely, it's not yours. I'm not a guy. We're allowed to have bailus, Yosef. We're allowed to own things. I promise we're allowed to own things. What we have should be accessible. Others also can have from what we have. It's a healthy attitude. I'm not coming from a place of not being safe. Lely's saying, but is there going to be enough for the locals? I promise. If there's not going to be enough, okay, so then there are halachas. There's enough. Clearly in the system, I don't want to say it's unlimited there, because otherwise you're just making them to be stupid people. There could be an inconvenience by an outsider taking. You might have to wait a few more minutes. But that would be sad if you have something and you have and nobody else can partake. In the shul, if the guy sits in your seat, okay, that week. To me, a shul that the outsider can't be comfortable questions what you even have. Yosef, you and I'm timing? There's two things, Naftali, I want to speak about. I want to speak about the learning to not have that heavy stone that allows for the taking. Yosef, I'm not here saying we can't protect our stuff. Chas v'shalom. That's one. The second thing is learning to trust each other, and I want to talk about that to Lely. I have seen, like, even parents say to their kid, okay, you've lost your trust, you're going to have to earn it back. I'm very not into that. I think when you trust people, they live up to the trust. In yeshiva, guys will ask, can I go somewhere for Shabbos? I will tell a guy, if your parents give rishus. And guys tell me, should my parents text you? They're so used to being distrusted. Why should your parents text me? You just get rishus from your parents. To me, it's like so embarrassing that we don't trust the 16-year-old. Tell your father to text. It means I don't trust you. I don't like that. Trust people. Really trust people. And by the way, a guy blew your trust. What should you do now? Trust him again. My kid did the most thing. You're going to have to earn back the trust. No, I trust you again. You made a mistake? I think the distrusting caused people to act distrustful. Woo! I think the very distrust, you say, what do you want? People are gone off. If we trusted each other, we wouldn't have gone of them. Shlomo, if we trusted each other, people wouldn't steal. Now, somebody could say, Lely and Yosef, Kalish, you're crazy people. I'm not saying to leave your stuff around.
I agree. In this case, you said there wasn't enough water.
It's a system of distrust. We would never run a system of distrust. It would be a system where people could trust each other. There'd be a system where people could trust each other. That's not a healthy... Now, there's a case... Again, I'm not saying I have a lock on my door. There's cases, and it has to be Yosef with thought. I want to say that it should not be a system of distrust. The heavy rack on the well is a system of people not trusting each other. That's the system. That's the reason for the heavy rack on the well. Better a sister of people trusting. I have to go to a chasna. I wish we could talk about it more. These are two topics. These are two topics that are important to me. The within learning to make a system of trusting each other. The within, a system of trust. That's in a community, systems of people believing in each other and trusting each other and not excluding the outsider. The outsider can take, please, in what we have, partake. To me, these are two huge fundamentals in a group. In any marriage, the basic, the number one ingredient in relationship is trust. In a community, there should be a lot of trust of people. People should trust each other. Now, again, I want to express that there are times to have precautions. The Gemara says, "Kabdeyu v'chashdeyu," respect people and be nervous. I'm not talking about Yosef, and we can analyze what's the, and I don't have the getter. Yosef, you're just crazy? You just leave your stuff around, then you get it. Rob, what do you do? But I am nervous. So we have to talk about that, what that would look like, a community of people who could trust each other in healthy ways. There's a certain sense of trust. Certainly, to make a community of distrust, that's the heavy rock on the well, says two things to me. A community of distrust of one another, one, and a community that locks out the outsider.
Ouch!
And to me, both of those things should be a community of trust, of respect. I want to express that it's not two different things. And that's what I'm saying. The more that exists in the community, the less of a want to exclude the outsider. Like I said, that those kids that, you know, kids have like a secret clubhouse where they don't do anything in the clubhouse. So what's the only thing the secret clubhouse has is that the fifth guy can't join. The more you have that you really do stuff there, then you don't mind if the fifth guy joins. But if the kids, the four kids, are like, talk about it and they hackle up, all they have, they're not letting the fifth kid in. The distrust of each other causes the keep the outsider, the heavy rock on the stone, on the well, that both speaks about the inner community not trusting each other and excludes the outer community as one sugya. When the inner don't have a healthy, vibrant, beautiful place, so all they have sometimes is keep out, lock out the other guy. I'm talking about a community that has real things and as such is very inviting to the outsider. Please partake in what we have. That's the world I want to present to you, Aviad. I think there's, in friendships, there's a real thing like this, where we have something beautiful, trust, connection, relationship, and then the outsider, please partake. You know, so I'm not talking about that we just do irresponsible things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a healthy respect, appreciation for each other. Let's say somebody took too much. I hear it's not, we're not making a system of distrust each other. We'll all figure it out. By the way, we'll catch the guy who does that and we'll reprimand him. We'll talk. We'll have an honest conversation with him there. But to make a system of distrust is very sad. It's very tragic. Shkoyach Hevra. Mencha is going to be in 4 minutes at 1:45 is now.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.